May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Neither my father-in-law Howard nor I have caller ID, but that does not stop us from immediately recognizing each other on the phone. Hello? Howard? Is that you, Hank? It's me, Howard. We have started hundreds and hundreds of calls that way over the years. Not only do we instantly know who we are talking to, but we also can tell right away how the other person is doing by the sound and tone of each other's voice. It's the same for all of us. We immediately know the voice of our close friends and loved ones. We don't hesitate for a moment to call them by name. We know them. We have a relationship with them. Today's gospel calls us to focus on our relationship with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, our Shepherd. As it says in the 10th chapter of John, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And later in the chapter, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. The question we need to ask today is, do we immediately recognize Jesus' voice in our lives? In other words, how do we listen to the voice of God? I invite you to be in a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus. A few verses before Jesus announces that he is the Good Shepherd, he states that he is the gate for the sheep, the door, the entry point. In order to be a member of Christ's flock, we must go through the gate, through him. Growing up and attending the Bethesda United Methodist Church, I vividly remember a copy of Warner Saltzman's famous painting, Christ at Heart's Door, hanging in the church library. It depicts an illumined Christ standing at a wooden door, knocking. This painting immediately reminds me of the passage in the third chapter of the Revelation to John. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. By opening the door to Jesus and becoming a member of his flock, we enter into relationship with him. When we are open to this living grace in our lives, we become more aware of God offering us guidance, protection, and love. God knows us because he became flesh and lived among us. God is in the feelings and emotions we experience. Not only does God know us, but we come to know God and hear his voice. Thus, a true relationship with Jesus is a two-way street. But do we really hear Jesus? How do we know that it's Jesus' voice we hear and not just our subconscious or even Satan himself? Do you remember those cartoons when our hero is faced with a choice of whether to do the wrong thing or to refrain and do the right thing? There's a little red devil on one shoulder saying, go ahead and do it. No one will mind. It's okay. Don't be afraid. That image immediately is contrasted with the angel on the other shoulder saying, don't do it. You'll regret it. Do the right thing. If only it were that clear. Still, our experiences and those of humanity show us that God can speak to us in many different ways, such as through dreams, visions, the Bible, extraordinary and ordinary occurrences, and especially that still, small voice inside our heads in our hearts. In discussing how we pick out and know we are listening to God's voice, noted theologian E. Stanley Jones, in his book, A Song of Ascents, said, "The voice of the subconscious argues with you, tries to convince you. But the inner voice of God does not argue, does not try to convince you. It just speaks, and it is self-authenticating. It has the feel of the voice of God within it." Last year, my wife Suzanne and I had the privilege of talking with our youth before they were confirmed. We talked about the importance in coming before God with a prayerful and open heart. We also discussed reading and studying our Bible on a regular basis to guide us in listening to God in our lives. We suggested that they go and buy a study Bible, one that they could write in, mark up, highlight. We were pleased some of our kids said they'd started doing this. My sister Nancy gave me such a Bible over 30 years ago. Though it has been kept together with rubber bands and most recently Gorilla tape on the binding, reading this Bible and writing in it and highlighting passages has helped me listen to God. As Dr. Charles Stanley said in his book, How to Listen to God, God's voice will never tell us to engage in any activity or relationship that is inconsistent with the Holy Scriptures. God's voice also is one of peace and assuredness, and sometimes will move us into action. After college, I was back home in Bethesda, Maryland. My parents were in Hawaii, and my grandmother was in her home alone a mile away. I left the house to go work out at the YMCA and had planned on visiting her later. Somehow, I made a wrong turn in the town that I had grown up in and started to turn around when I heard a voice inside tell me to go see my grandmother now. The voice wasn't loud. It wasn't hysterical, but it was firm. I didn't stop and analyze the command. I just went. And when my grandmother finally opened the door, smoke billowed out. A grease fire had started on the stove, and the flames were already a foot or so in the air. I got my grandmother out and somehow smothered the fire and, by the grace of God, put it out. Still, amidst the emergency, there was a light-hearted moment that I will always remember. I looked over, and there she was. "Grandmother, I thought I told you to stay out of the kitchen." "But you're in here." "But I'm not an 87-year-old woman. I'm not either. I'm only 86. There is no doubt in my mind that God sent me there at that moment to help my grandmother. Theologian Dallas Willard said, "The voice of God speaking in our souls also bears within itself a characteristic spirit. It is a spirit of exalted peacefulness and confidence, of joy, of sweet reasonableness, and of goodwill. It is, in short, the spirit of Jesus. And because his voice still bears authority within itself, it does not need to be loud or hysterical." Life is not always easy. Jesus showed us the cost of love when he laid down his life for us. Even in the midst of his darkest hour, Jesus chose to stay in his pain and believe. Yes, life is not always easy. This past week, our diocese learned that our bishop, John Bruno, has been diagnosed with a form of leukemia. In his letter to all, the bishop started by noting that as he moved to celebrate the 12th anniversary today of his consecration as bishop, he looked forward to the future. He then noted that any time we make too many plans, we have to wait and listen to God. Then in announcing his diagnosis, he said, "I don't do anything lightly, and I'm never surprised that when God calls me, it is to do more than I asked or thought. The doctors are of a mind that we can beat this, but I want to be honest with you, I am frightened." He then asked for us to be positive and said that he needs our thoughts and our prayers. This news has driven home the point to me that we do not go through life alone. We are members of Jesus' flock, and because of this, we see and hear God through others in our community, the flock, and rely on each other in our faith walk. Listening to Jesus' voice unifies us and enables the flock, the community of believers, to receive abundant life. We are called to support each other through Christ, building community one relationship at a time. These past few years, a number of small share groups have formed in our parish. Co-ed groups, a group for those in mourning, women's groups, and a men's group, where we have been able to wrestle with and deepen our faith. The task before us each and every day of our lives is the message of today's gospel. Listen to the voice of God. Amen.